A new beginning.
The thought of a new beginning might remind us maybe of some political statements we've heard. It's the desire of just about every president, and he proclaims this usually in his message to the country that he represents a new beginning. But it never really turns out that way. It's just a rehash of the old things that have been so unsatisfactory so far as this world is concerned. But you know, there is a new beginning for those who have entered into the school of Christ, have consecrated their lives to the Lord, and have dedicated themselves so completely that every day and every week and every year of their life becomes a time of complete submission to God's will, just so far as humanly possible for us to do. What the Lord begins in us is indeed a new beginning. And it will not involve very much of the old things that were represented in our life prior to our consecration. We're going to use a text. We'd like to focus our attention on this text, the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and all of you could quote that right off, I presume. And yet this text is so important, conveys to us such an important thought, that we felt that it is good for us to consider it frequently in our lives and really try to understand the message that is here for us. And the text reads this way: Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're going to focus our attention on this little word new quite often in this discussion. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things, not just some, but all things are become new. And in the course of this convention, we're going to be reminded of many of these new things that have become ours after we entered into the Christian way, that we never had before. If we stop and think about it a little bit, the things that the Lord has given to us in our Christian walk, in our Christian way, are things that we never had prior to this. They are the new things that the Lord has revealed to us, a new way of life that is peculiar only to His consecrated, Spirit-begotten new creatures, as our text declares here. And so in the course of this convention, we're going to hear quite a lot concerning these things, and especially as they center around our Lord Jesus, His sacrifice, and all of the benefits that will come to us as His children, as brethren of the Lord, children of our Heavenly Father, as well as the benefits that will come to the world as a result of His great sacrifice. These matters lie at the very basis of these new things that we have come to understand and to comprehend as so vital a part of our Christian experience and our concept of faith. And as we memorialize the death of our Lord in a few days, we cannot help but feel in our hearts our great appreciation for the privilege that has been extended to us to be a part of this special class that have had experiencing this new beginning, a new life in the Lord. We're going to be thinking along these lines as we assemble together in Memorial Evening. we're going to think of ourselves as being seated with the Lord in that upper room. And I like to think that this is the condition that has been represented throughout this gospel age in which all of the Lord's consecrated people have been experiencing. We are seated together in this upper room with our brethren, and our Master is serving us just as he did the 11. Throughout the age, he's serving us with all of the benefits that have come down to us because of that one great sacrifice. Perhaps the basic line of thought here is shown in the type of the typical arrangement in Israel. Remember, the lamb was slain and the blood was sprinkled on the lintels and the doorposts of the houses wherein the firstborns of Israel dwelt. This was done at the beginning of the Passover night. And then throughout that night, they ate of the flesh of this paschal lamb. I think it is important that we see a similar outworking in the antitype. I don't believe, dear brethren, that we can divorce the type from the antitype in its meaning. And so it is our privilege that we also have come under the blood of sprinkling, represented in the cup in the blood of our Lord. We have come under that blood which Jesus himself said would accomplish the remission of sin. And this has been accomplished for us. This blood was sprinkled over the doorposts of the house of God at the very beginning of this age. And throughout this dark night, this Passover night of this gospel age, all of the Lord's dear people have been privileged to feed upon the flesh of this lamb, represented in the bread of truth. It has been our privilege to receive these two great benefits as a basis of our Christian walk and our consecrated life. There are other benefits, many other benefits, that come to us through that great sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And when we consecrated our lives to the Lord, it signified that we had met the conditions for acceptance in this upper room condition. And it marked for us a new beginning, and truly the thought of this text came to our mind then in a very forceful way, as we realized that now a complete change must occur in our life. Old things must pass away. And you notice the apostle here does not say that just some of the old things must pass away. But he says all things must pass away, and then he says all things must become new. All things must become new. If we stop and think about that a little bit, we might realize that why it is so important for us to consider these things frequently. Because while these old things have passed away, so far as our heart is concerned, so far as our flesh and the old creature that we still have with us is concerned, he keeps trying to hang on to these old things. And they become a, shall we say, a battleground of our faith, trying to put down and to purge out and to do away with the old things that were so much a part of our fallen humanity. The only way this can be done is if we are setting our affections upon the new things of the Lord. If we are able to fulfill every aspect, so far as possible, of our responsibilities as the Lord's children, then the old things will be purged out, because the new things will be crowding them out. But on the other hand, if we are less faithful along the lines of the fulfilling of our vows of consecration, then the old things are going to crowd in upon us, and they're going to become a real severe trial to our faith. We're going to talk about what some of these new things are. We might ask the question, first of all, how important do we consider the keeping of the Lord's memorial to be? I thought about that because there are occasionally some of our brethren who are in a position where it seems almost impossible for them to observe this arrangement. And yet we know that they have the desire, and the Lord will, and under those conditions, accept the desire as being a fulfillment of the act itself. But we wondered about how important it was, and we noticed that in the arrangement of Israel, when the Lord gave Moses the instructions concerning the Passover in the 12th chapter of Exodus, we believe the Lord indicated there to us the great importance that he placed upon this particular ceremony once a year to commemorate the passing over of the firstborns of Israel, which represent us, the Lord's firstborn, but also their exodus from Egypt was represented here. When they were able to come out of Egyptian bondage into the freedom of following the Lord through the wilderness and finally into the land of Canaan. And this is the importance of this, we believe, is shown in the first two verses of this chapter, chapter 12. And it reads this way, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now we believe that this would indicate the great importance that the Lord placed upon this matter of the Passover. It was so important and so vital to their existence and their life that he even changed the calendar and indicated this vital nature of this ceremony and the Passover itself and the keeping of it yearly after this by marking it as the beginning of their religious year. It was the first feature of the law, even before Moses went up into the mount to receive the law. It marked a new beginning for Israel, and all of the other special days that Israel observed throughout their year were all measured from this new measurement of time, this new beginning that Israel experienced when they left Egypt. Everything began, everything had to be related to this new measurement of time and new condition of things that in which Israel existed. Now they were out of bondage and they were following the Lord through the wilderness. And so it is in our lives, as we consider the comparison here, we also have left the bondage of this, shall we say, the bondage of this present evil world. We have left the bondage that is represented in the condemnation that came upon Adam and all of his race because of his disobedience. We have been freed from this bondage of condemnation. Also, we should consider that we have left, and leaving the world in this way, we have also left our old ways our old values, our ambitions, our goals, the things that were most important to us when we were still in Egyptian bondage, so to speak, before we consecrated our life to the Lord, we have left all of those things. And behold, all things have become new. We have a new set of values, new goals, new understandings of our day-by-day experiences. You know, we never put any particular value on our day-by-day experiences, did we, before we consecrated our life to the Lord. We thought of ourselves as being unfortunate if something came upon us that was not pleasant to the flesh. And we sought to have ourselves gain as much of the pleasure and comfort that we could get in this world, purely from a human point of view, with goals that were entirely human and temporary in nature. And for the most part, most of them were unfulfilled goals. But how different it is with us since we have become followers of our dear Master. We have new goals, new values, and our day-by-day experiences become so meaningful to us. They become such an important part of our consideration as we contemplate our faith and our walk of faith. We believe the Lord is dealing with us carefully, day by day, every minute of the day, in such a way that all things, not just some things, but all things are indeed working together for our good if we are rightly exercised thereby. Now this is where the problem comes in sometimes. We know the Lord will not fail to do His part, but how difficult it is for us to always be rightly exercised by the experiences that come to us daily. When we contemplate this new beginning that occurred in each of our lives at the point of consecration, there were so many things that the Lord was going to reveal to us throughout our Christian experience. As we think of the memorial itself, as it represents what was accomplished through our Lord's great sacrifice, I like to think that each year when we observe the memorial of our Lord's death, that we also remember that new beginning that came to each of us back perhaps many years ago when we consecrated our lives to the Lord. I think it is well for us to remember that experience, what it was like to pass from Adam, from the world, into Christ. We don't want to forget the great joy and the elation that we had in our hearts, the enthusiasm, the desire to be pleasing to the Lord, to do His will, to tell others about the message that gladdened our hearts. It was a very exciting experience for us, for each of us. We want to renew that yearly as we partake of the memorial. Let us remember this wonderful standing that we have before Him that is our privilege, is represented in our privilege of protecting of the memorial emblem. It is only because we have met the proper conditions that the Lord has permitted us to be in this upper room. Let us seek then to put off the former things and to put on the new man. I hear the word new again. The new man. A new being is being in the process of development. It's a condition that only God can recognize and see in our lives. It has no The new creature is not a physical organism in any way. It is not a being that stands as an entity before God at the present time, except in the embryo sense. It is a being that is in the state of development. It will become a being, an entity, in the first resurrection, when we're born of the Spirit. Now it is a vegetal condition. And there, nevertheless, we're instructed in the scriptures that God views us even now as sons of God, as though we had finished our course. And yet he says that this standing, as God views it, is conditional. And is conditional to our faithfulness even unto death. And this is the matter of great concern to each of us, that these conditions for which the Lord has made us responsible, the need in our lives, is fully carried out. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 22 to 24, states the challenge to each of us very clearly of what we must do. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, ye put these things off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then he says, and be renewed. I like that word renewed because it's like the word new, except that it indicates that what the Lord began in us in the beginning has continued every year of our lives, and our thought of a new beginning then is more of a renewal of that beginning each year. So he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So it's a new creation. And God is the creator. But the extent to which he is able to perform this creative act in our lives depends upon our fulfilling our part of putting off the old man. We might just for a moment consider some of the new things that don't apply directly to us now. You know, our Lord's great sacrifice was not, the benefits of it were not just for us. And the world is also a beneficiary of Jesus' sacrifice. And you know, the so-called Old Testament, the Old Testament is full of new things. Full of new things that the Lord has in store for the world, as well as for us. And he has revealed these new things to us, and it becomes one of the great inspiring incentives in our lives to contemplate what the Lord has arranged and provided in due time for all mankind. I'd like to read a text in Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Oh, the faithfulness of the Lord. Isaiah knew that the former things that the Lord, in the Lord's arrangements, had all come to pass. He believed that. And he says, the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Now we believe that all of God's purposes for mankind under the reign of sin are coming to pass precisely in their due time. But it will take the new things of the future. It will take the new things of the kingdom age to lift man out present depths of sin and death. It will take the new things of the kingdom age to do this. And before they even happen, before they spring forth, the Lord has told us about them. And what a great joy and blessing it is to our lives to know something about these things that will be for the benefit of all mankind in the age to come. Well, why did the Lord reveal them to us? Why didn't he tell the world about them? I think we can understand that the Lord's purposes could best be accomplished in the arrangements that he chose. I believe that he has revealed these things to us because it is important to our calling and our faith to know a little bit, to have at least an inkling of what our future work will be beyond the veil. And how much joy has come into our hearts as we contemplate our future activities in doing God's will and blessing and uplifting of all the families of the earth. In Proverbs 25:25, the statement here, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And how refreshing and how comforting are these glad tidings that we have received from the heavenly kingdom that have come to us. Now our Heavenly Father has told us about all of these new things that await the world, and throughout the Old Testament as well as the New, these things are revealed in some detail for everyone who will live upon this earth. They will have a new beginning when the Lord visits them with the blessings of that covenant. There will be a new environment, a new heavens and a new earth, new bodies, new physical bodies, free from all the pain and suffering and troubles that we have today. And he will give them a law for a blessing, a new covenant. A new covenant. Not according to what he gave them in the past, but it will be a new covenant that will indeed bring life to everyone that shall obey. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:6 that we are to be made able ministers of this new covenant. We are to be made able ministers. That's what's going on now, isn't it? We are in the process of being made able ministers. And all of these new things that are in store for the world as well as those things that we have experienced are all made possible through the loving sacrifice of our dear Redeemer. When he said in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood, as he took the cup, he said, this represents my blood of the New Testament or covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. We don't have any question of what that cup represents, do we? And all of these new things that have come to us and will come to the world have been made possible because of the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross. These blessings of restitution will surely come in God's due time, but they must wait until the merit of our Lord's sacrifice has been released by the church to be used on the world's behalf. And this will not be, of course, until the last member of the church and even the great company have passed beyond the veil. In the meantime, You and I have been privileged to walk in this new and living way which He has consecrated for us. It's a way entirely new and different from our former way, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, His sacrifice. It is a new way, a way that will lead to life, and completely opposite from the way that leads to death, the broad way of destruction that the entire world is walking upon. And truly everything about our lives must become new. As our text declares, old things are passed away. That's what the desire of our heart is, isn't it? All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, these new things sometimes have small beginnings. This isn't accomplished overnight in our lives. We might illustrate it by the planting of a seed into the ground. And with the proper sunlight and moisture and cultivation, that seed will sprout and brings forth a new life. After a while, we begin to see new stems, branches perhaps. And then we see new leaves. Everything is new. We see, after a while, in due time, we see new buds. And then the flower. And then finally, the new fruit appears. And we consider this and we say, well, what did it draw from its former life cycle? And the answer is simply that it drew nothing. That little plant drew nothing from its former life cycle from which that seed was produced. It was entirely new. It was a miracle of the Lord. It was a new life. And so it is in our lives. Everything is new, but there is a growing process. There is a process in which we are developing as these new things are added to our lives. We make progress in the Christian way. And as new creatures, we begin to grow and develop along all the lines of the Christian graces. Beginning with only the sprouting of a seed, because it fell upon the good ground of our heart. And then as we grow and develop, we put forth these branches, leaves. The truth begins to bloom in our life. And finally we see the beautiful fruits of character, the fruits of the Spirit, that indicate that we have indeed been blessed of the Lord, and are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now we want to ask ourselves the question as we consider what the Lord has given to us. As we contemplate the new year, we want to consider what our response is going to be daily to these new things that the Lord has given to us. How seriously, how completely are we going to allow the truth to affect our lives? It's a serious question, one which we cannot take lightly, one which we must daily confront ourselves with. What does the Lord require of me today in doing of His will? Our loving Father is going to give us a lot of new things in the coming year. We're going to have new experiences, some that we've never had before. We're going to have new trials. We're going to have new opportunities in the Lord's service, new opportunities perhaps to sacrifice ourselves more fully, new privileges of service, new joys and blessings in so many different ways. They're all going to be the new things that the Lord is going to give to us during this memorial year that's before us. as we look back over the past year, we realize that we did not always take full advantage of the new things of that year. So it is a good time for us to consider the importance of full dedication of ourselves to the Lord in all of the various ways that become our responsibility. We may have, during the past year, we may have found a lot of reasons why we couldn't attend the meetings from time to time. They would seem like good reasons to us. There may have been a lot of reasons why we were busy doing something else at times when perhaps we should have been studying our lesson, preparing ourselves more fully in understanding the Lord's Word. There may have been something else that we found to do instead of visiting the sick, encouraging the brethren through correspondence, participating in all of the class activities, especially the consideration of our elections of our class servants and our participation in the activities of the class throughout the year. These are vital matters to the Lord. All of these good reasons that we conjure up in our minds from time to time, we wonder whether the Lord considers them good. Let us try to consider the Lord's viewpoint of what He expects in our lives. Let us consider what He thinks is good for us. Let us consider what will be most beneficial for us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're going to close our thoughts now. And once again, as we come to this memorial season and the memorial itself, we will be depending upon, and throughout this year, we will be depending once again upon the mercies of our God and His compassion that will never fail. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Let us remember that. It's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a wonderful and blessed Father we have. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Let us claim these new things and make them our own. Make them our own in a very serious way. Each morning of each day of our lives, because great is His faithfulness. We're going to close by singing a hymn that is based upon this text. It's, I think, in the back of our books, Great is Thy Faithfulness.